Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, the story that we take up with Deaconess Pam Nielsen here in this last half hour of this first hour of Issues Etc. seems to go along, at least thematically, with one that we talked about last week with her. The one that we talked about last week with her was a miracle of astronomical proportions. The sun and the moon stand still in the sky. God stops the rotation of the earth for a full day, in addition to the time that day had already expended, and the Israelites are victorious. And then this story, just about the morning dew. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it isn't. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to talk about God's answer to Gideon's prayer with the morning dew. She's senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday school curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How is this story of Gideon with his kind of small and quiet miracle in the same vein as the big one we saw last week with Joshua and the sun standing still?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that, because what you're seeing is a pattern in all of our summer lessons, all gathered around this theme of God using his creation, using nature in miraculous ways and supernatural ways to bring about salvation and to bring about his plan of salvation for us and for his people of old. And this lesson is in that vein, even though different from last week when the sun stood still, the earth stood still. Here we have Gideon, God's judge, his appointed one, who is feeling rather insignificant and unable in his own mind, knowing his own sinful self, unable to do what God asks of him. So he asks for signs, and one of the signs that he asks for is to take a fleece, which is really just a blanket of wool that's been shorn off of a sheep in one piece. So it's a big, thick blanket of wool, and he wants to put it on the ground. And he says, I'm going to lay a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there's dew on the fleece alone in the morning and the ground is all dry, then Gideon tells God, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And right away, verse 38 here in chapter 6 of Judges, the text is very straightforward. And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Now, by any normal occurrence, both the land and the fleece should have been equally wet. And here was a wet fleece and dry ground. Well, then Gideon, still kind of quivering at the task laid before him by God, says again to God, "Now, don't be angry at me. Don't let your anger burn against me. But let me speak just once more." And you can see him. We've all been there. But Lord, he says, please let me test just once more with this fleece. And then he reverses it. He says, please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, it tells us in the Word. And it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. So he got his test twice, forwards and backwards, underscoring God's promise to him and really God's call to him to do what he wants him to do, and a promise that he will make him victorious.
The idea here seems to be that God is going to fight for his people. And
absolutely,
he wants to bolster Gideon's confidence in that fact. He also wants to reduce the number of people that Gideon has at his disposal. I mean, this is something you do not do going to war. You do not cull your ranks. You build an army. You don't reduce your army.
That's exactly right. Gideon knows what he's up against. These Midianites have overtaken them. They're in the thousands. They've been tormenting. They've been pestering. They've been causing all kinds of trouble for the children of Israel. And he knows what a formidable foe this is. And then God tells him, you know, one of the things God says to him before this little fleece test is that I will be with you and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. So he's had that promise from God and he's had this little test here twice over. And now, God, you're right. Not only is he saying, trust me, he's going to make sure that there's nothing but him to trust in, because he reduces Gideon's army from 32,000 down to, 300. And he does that with an odd little test of how he's going to sort people. You know, I think back to grade school when you were the captain of the kickball team and how you picked, I'll take that person and that person. Well, God says, you know, send everybody down to the water and let's observe who laps the water with his tongue like a dog, and everyone who kneels down to drink. And he's going to divide them. And it says that the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And that's how God decides. Those 300, just the 300, become Gideon's army against the thousands upon thousands of Midianites, strong and mighty, that they will have to fight against. And it says that God sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300. And then that same night, the Lord says to Gideon, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. Incredible. That's another promise. That's a statement of fact that God says to Gideon, I have given it into your hands. And then verse 10 in chapter 7, God follows up, but if you are afraid to go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and you shall hear what they say. So here God gives him yet another sign, a certainty, not only his word, but another sign where they will be able to overhear, his servant will overhear the Midianites talking and hearing someone with telling about a dream that he had. And in his dream, this Midianite says, behold, I dreamed a dream, and a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down, and the tent lay flat. And the comrade said, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given him, has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. So he hears this, Gideon hears this, he knows now again, God has promised it, he's given him sign after sign, and here's one last assurance that one of the Midianites has dreamed that they would lose, and clearly understands that Gideon is God's man and will be victorious.
So the battle transpires in a rather, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you can... You could probably put into a novel or put on television. How does the battle itself transpire? 300 against the camp of Midian.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, I can't help but think with this story this week in Sunday school and what's going on in South Africa with those plastic horns, what do you call them, vuvuzelas, that they're blaring at the World Cup in the arena, because you can listen to that on TV and maybe get a little sense of what happened here. Gideon and his 300 men arise. They divide into three companies, and they put trumpets in the hands of all of them and empty jars and torches inside the jars. They don't have swords, just trumpets and torches and jars. And he tells the people, you know, do what I'm doing. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you blow the trumpets on every side. So they surround the people, and this is at night, so unexpected, and in the dark, there's no parking lot lights to shine light on this. It's pure dark, and they gather around, and then as they gather and they begin to blow those trumpets, they all together shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And that's exactly what they do. They blow their trumpets and then smash the jars that are in their hands, and then they pull out their swords. So now you've got light and trumpets blaring, and really quite a sight. And the Midianites are looking up at this. They can't determine what all it is. It's frightening. It's loud. There's light. And there's people. And it causes them to cry out and flee. And the text says, when they blew the 300 trumpets, just 300 trumpets, the Lord sent every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. So God gets involved, and the army fled away. And the men of Israel were called out, and they have the victory. Gideon sends messengers throughout all the hill country saying, come down against the Midianites and capture the waters against them. And this is a great victory, all in God's hand.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest when we come back 10 more minutes with her, talking about God's answer to Gideon's prayer. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, June the 21st. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes. Dedicated customer service and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good Theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find Good Theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest. We're talking about God's answer to Gideon's prayer in the morning dew and a victory, a very unusual victory over their Midianite adversaries. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pam, let's talk about, and I don't know if this applies so much, perhaps it does, better than we know, to the kids who will hear this as a Sunday school lesson. We tend in our society today to trust in numbers. We have a democratic society, so we trust in numbers at the polling place. We trust in numbers in so many different ways, be it numbers of people or money or other resources that we think we have at our disposal. What is God saying to Gideon in this text about trusting in the resources? I mean, he had a big army that probably could have done a good job against Midian just by the numbers, but God doesn't permit that to happen.
No, and this really is a lesson all about trusting in the proper thing, the one thing needful, trusting in God for the victory over our enemies, trusting in God for the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And you're right, in our culture, our society, or maybe it's just human nature, sinful human nature, that bigger is better, more is better, numbers seem to matter. But God wants us to understand that He is the one true God. He is our maker, our redeemer, our sustainer, our provider. And this is really a lesson for Gideon and the children of Israel who need, like us, this lesson over and over and over again. We are, you know, we can read this and think, how could they not trust God after all He had done? And then we need to look at ourselves and get on our knees and repent. Who are the Midianites in our lives? And that's one of the things we want to talk with our Sunday school children about. Okay, this is a big army, and none of us has to fight a big army, but what are the big bad things that we have to fight in our life? What are the things that are our enemies, that are attacking us, that are causing us trouble, causing us to fear, causing us to take our eyes off Jesus? And what does our Lord give us to fight those enemies? And, you know, very clear connection here. God takes away all the things that man would think would be the great weapons against our enemies. And He gives us ordinary, sort of nondescript things that really, how do you see any power in them? A few drops of water in our baptism, words spoken by a man in a pulpit, but God's words. Bread and wine that we take into our mouths, how can any of these give us victory over sin, death, and the devil, our greatest enemies? And yet they do. Just as God gave Gideon victory, as He gave the Israelites victory and salvation time and time again in these wonderful Old Testament stories. They're all there for us to strengthen our faith as they strengthened Gideon in these events, and to help us to trust these things that God gives us today, these simple things that He gives us that are so powerful when combined with His Word.
We had Pastor Will Whedon on recently, and he was talking about the role of suffering in the Christian life, and he said it's all practice for death. God uses suffering in order to take things away from us that we would put in the place of God, to take these false idols away, so that at the hour of death, we can trust alone in Christ, our Savior. It seems as though what happened just in this incident for Gideon, with the culling of his army, and then he is so fearful he needs two signs from God in order to, you know, screw up his courage enough to go to battle. It seems like this is just exactly what the Christian life is for us every day.
I think that's exactly right. And the thing to also see here, it's something that I think Satan wants to frighten us with, that if we don't have enough faith, God's going to strike us down. We're going to lose that battle. We're going to have terrible troubles. And yet we see here that Gideon, in his doubting, in his human need for assurance, goes to God not once but twice. God shows him more than twice, speaks clearly, acts clearly to bolster, to strengthen Gideon's faith. God loves us. He knows us. He knows that we're sinners. And he doesn't take offense at Gideon's request. He's not going to take offense at ours. Lord, give me assurance. Strengthen my faith. Help me to see through the darkness that is my life right now. Help me to know that you are there for me. And he does that through his word and through his sacraments. He's with us just like he was with Gideon. And that is such an important lesson for us and for our children in the battles that we have to fight and in the suffering that God allows in our lives. And maybe, you know, when there's nothing left to trust in except God, maybe we can look to God. Sometimes I think in our modern world, when there's so much that we can find false certainty and false assurance in, that there are many temptations to look away from God as our Savior and Redeemer. But when there's nothing, and we obviously can't win the battle on our own, may it be that our faith is in our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I guess, you know, Christians go through their lives and occasionally we want to have some kind of a sign, like mm-hmm. Gideon. Many Christians believe that they can or do receive these kinds of signs from God that would guide them in their everyday life. But it sounds like what you just said is God has given us signs,
absolutely,
external, tangible signs. We're just looking in the wrong place. What again, are those signs to assure us in this life of his goodwill toward us?
Very, very certainly he's given us signs, and these are signs we've got to teach our Sunday school children. Our holy baptism, that with the water combined with God's word, our sin has been drowned, Satan has been crushed, eternal life has been given to us. And when the pastor makes the sign of the cross on our forehead and on our chest, when we're baptized, whether we're an infant or an adult or somewhere in between, that is not just symbolic. It is a real thing that happened, and it is a real thing that goes with us every day in the battles against Satan and sin. And it's why I intentionally teach children to make the sign of the cross, to remember that thing that God did for them, does for them, continues for them, to remember that that sign of the cross was made over them at their baptism. God gives us signs in the Lord's Supper when we partake of the bread and the wine, simple earthly elements, but combined with God's word, powerful and effective, giving us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And God's word, passed down through history, written down by sinful human beings, but his perfect word, his error-free word, and his certain word of our salvation, comes to us, spoken by our parents, our teachers, our pastors in the pulpit, all of them sinful human beings, but giving us powerful words of life that come straight from our Lord above.
Oh, it's with only about a minute here, it's hard not to see, you've mentioned it several times now, but it's hard not to see baptism in a text like this, the water in the calling of the troops, and then also with the dew, with about 30 seconds. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think you can see the connection, water, but it's not really about the water, is it? It's about God's power to take that simple element of water and to use it for his saving purposes. Water that he created, dew that he creates, and that he allows to blanket the earth. All of these things point us to God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the one who takes them and can make them do anything for our good and salvation. You know, in Judges 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. And there's a real connection, too, to our baptism. We receive the robe of righteousness, of Christ's righteousness. We are clothed in Christ. And that gives us strength for the battle, just as it gave Gideon strength for the battle. God was with him, and he is with us in our lives today because of his word and his sacraments, because of Christ, his son, who died on the cross to pay for our sins.
Concordia Publishing House has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It is the basis of our conversations with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Find out more about it. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Pam, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great week.
We are being taught constantly not to trust in the numbers. The numbers may be there. That's fine and good. But God doesn't do things by the numbers. He does things by his mercy and his grace and his promise. To trust his promise in his word. To trust that his will for us and his goodwill toward us is unfailing because it is founded in a promise that is kept in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for us. So the numbers may fascinate us. They may lure us. But they don't do anything for us, only the promise of God, this we trust, regardless of how the numbers go. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. this Monday afternoon, June the 21st. Dr. Wade Horn will join us to talk about the importance of fathers. And then I want your reaction to the first part of an interview that we had with Brian McLaren on the Emergent Church Movement. We'll play part of it for you and get your reaction in hour two of Issues Etc.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.